I'm Lee Foster. You're listening to Action, the No Bullshit podcast dedicated to the pursuit of acting excellence. This episode is brought to you by Backstage. Become a member and get access to more performing arts jobs than any other platform. To try it for free for 30 days, go to backstage.com/action. Again, that's backstage.com/action. Become a member like me. Hey, listeners. So this episode is a departure from the norm. This is an interview with me on the Tony Rossi Show, another podcast by a fellow actor here in Chicago. He's also a motivational speaker. He's got a cool podcast. Check it out, the Tony Rossi Show. Some of these topics I've talked about multiple times in the past, so some of you may have heard them, but some of you haven't. So I thought I would post this on my podcast. So I hope you enjoy. Lee Foster is a Chicago actor who a lot of you know for his really dope podcast, Action, The Pursuit of Acting Excellence. He calls it the No Bullshit Podcast, and in this interview, he is going to explain why it's the No Bullshit Podcast. We're going to talk about how to, when you identify those gaps, what you can do about it, and how you can specifically apply the classes and what you're learning to those gaps so that you can get better. And we also talk about how happiness is not on the other side of achievement, and we have to start by being happy where we are. Now, if you're a loyal listener of the Tony Rossi Show podcast, you know I talk about this time and time again, but I think it's really going to help from a working Chicago actor who's been on Chicago Fire. He had a guest star role recently on Chicago Med, and he's just an all-around good guy. I think one of the biggest surprises I had when I was interviewing Lee, because him and I really didn't know each other well until this interview. I was following him on social media. I've been listening to his podcast for a long time. But we never had a conversation. This was our first one. And I was really struck by how humble he was. Now, don't get me wrong. I certainly wasn't expecting him to be rude. But he is a very nice person. And he strikes me as the type of guy who, if you're working with him on set as a producer or a director, you're going to want this guy back on your set. He has a growth mindset. He loves learning. You're going to hear all about that. And I really want you to pay attention to exactly what he did to get to the point that he's at now. And he just strikes me as the type of guy you want to invite back to set. So Lee, kudos to you and your mindset. And thank you for coming on the show. And without any further ado, here is our very special interview with Chicago actor Lee Foster. Cool. So Lee, we were just kind of saying this before you started recording, but you often don't get interviewed yourself, do you? You're usually the one interviewing other people.
Yes, this is a total switch of roles, and I might switch it up halfway through the interview and start interviewing you.
I actually had that happen a few episodes ago. We were interviewing Dewan Johnson, who's an actor out in LA, and he just like completely took over the podcast by the end. So, hey, at this point, I'm used to it. So,
yeah, I listened to that episode. That was a very good episode.
Oh, awesome. Thanks. Yeah, that was he was a good one to have on. He's a smart, smart guy and a force for good. We'll link that episode up in the show notes for everyone to listen to. But speaking of your podcast, Lee, I'll be honest, this past week has been a really stressful week for me. It was just one of those weeks where, and for those who are listening to this for the first time, I'm an actor still working day jobs. And this past week, I just picked up way too many shifts for day jobs. And I just didn't leave room for me to move my acting forward, my speaking and coaching career forward. And then when a family thing came up back home, like that just, like my schedule was jam-packed and I was just feeling really stressed. But in preparation for this interview, I was pretty much binging on Action podcast and going back to old episodes. And there were so many nuggets that just made me feel so much better. Some were from you, some were from Michael Kostroff. And I just started to feel so much better. And it made me think about how many people your podcast has probably helped who haven't even told you about it. So for both myself and for them, I want to say thanks for making Action. It's a really good podcast.
Thank you very much for saying that. Yeah, it makes my day when I can hear when people reach out to me and people find me on Instagram, Facebook, email. They find me and tell me that it that it's helped them a lot. And it wasn't really the initial intention, to be honest with you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I started my podcast for selfish reasons, really. I wanted to find these answers that I couldn't find anywhere else. And I thought a podcast was a really good way to have an excuse to pick the brains of these people who were way ahead in their careers than me. And I just wanted the answers, and I put it online, and it turns out a lot of other people wanted those answers too. So it wasn't the intention necessarily to help a lot of people, but it's just been a really fortunate byproduct.
Yeah, that's great. I actually, if I can remember correctly, were you looking for answers that you weren't getting elsewhere?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Would you like me to tell you kind of how it originated?
Please, because I've heard you talk about this before, but I want other people to hear it. And it captured so much of my frustration with other acting podcasts and shows out there. So yeah, go ahead and tell it.
So I'm going to try to rein myself in a little bit. I get hyped up when I talk about this kind of stuff. So I'll try to stay on track. almost when I do anything, I've always been this way. Whenever I decide that I want to try to do something, I try to go all the way. I try to do it all the way. I don't stick my toe in the water, really. I go all the way in, and then I decide later maybe it's not for me and I stop. But if I'm going to try to do something, I try to do it as best I can. I try to learn as quickly as possible. I try to find all the answers, and I try to make as much progress as quickly as I can. And so when I decided that I wanted to pursue a career in acting, that's what I did. And there were many avenues that I used. I gave myself homework, and I decided that I was going to do, I think it was, this was a while ago now, but I think it was like over 40 hours a week of acting education.
Wow.
I would keep track of those hours.
Okay.
The way that originated actually was I didn't go to school for theater, and I was really self-conscious of that. And I kept running into people who were theater majors and had BFAs and everything like that. And I didn't have that. I went to college for art and art history. So I felt like I needed to do something to get rid of that part of me that was very self-conscious about that, right? I felt like I was really like lacking, right? So what I did was I figured out how many credits a theater degree is in a typical university.
Oh my God.
Figured out how many hours that would be of work. And then I decided what that work could be. And I kept track of my hours. And I did that for years until I had completed, I called it like a self-directed curriculum program, something like that. I can't remember what.
Okay.
And so I was doing all this stuff to try to complete this. That included reading books on acting. I read all the books I could get my hands on. I was listening to all the audiobooks I could find on acting. I was watching stuff online, so YouTube videos of coaches. I was watching Inside the Actor's Studio as like a daily exercise. Mm-hmm. And podcasts, I don't know if I mentioned that, but I kept running into the same thing. And I couldn't find the answers to how these people were doing it, how these actors were acting, what their mindset was, what they were thinking about right before they went into an audition, what they were thinking about on set, how exactly they were memorizing their scripts, how exactly they were doing all this stuff. It was all just kind of whitewashed. Mm-hmm. And especially on Inside the Actor's Studio, where you have, if you haven't seen the show, I think it was on Bravo, and it's this guy, James Lipton, at the Actor's Studio, and he interviews A-list actors, the people at the very top of the industry, in front of the students of the school in a seminar. It's filmed and it's made into a show. Now, can you think of any better time to ask people very specific questions on how they do their job, how they do their craft? Right? There's no better time. You're in front of students. You're in front of these students, and he wouldn't do it. And at that point, I decided, okay, it's time for me to do it. I'll just do it myself. And that's why I started the podcast. Yeah.
That's so great. I totally agree. I get really, really frustrated when I'm listening to other acting podcasts and we're learning more about their social lives than we are about the craft of acting.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. It's, I call my, can we swear on this?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So I call my podcast the No Bullshit Podcast.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of acting excellence. And that's no mistake. I mean, that's, I mean that when I say that. I cut out everything I can. I try to cut out everything that's not important. Yeah, because that's what I kept running into. And I was so sick of it. I just want to be like, I'd be listening to somebody's podcast. I'd be just like, get on with it. I don't care. I don't care what you were doing last week. Like get to the nuggets.
And I think that's a challenge with a lot of the other, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of the other podcasts that I found is that it's not run by an actor. It's by somebody else in the industry. And when it's not by someone, it's kind of like taking an acting class from somebody who isn't acting themselves. I love the classes, especially here in Chicago, that are run by other working actors, because we're getting it right from the people who have the results that we want to emulate. So yeah, I totally agree, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you wouldn't, that's a really good point. You've got a bunch of people who have given themselves a platform to pose as an expert, but they don't have the credentials to back it up. And so if you're listening to the advice of someone, like for instance, if you're listening to the advice of someone who is telling you exactly how to succeed in the real estate market, but they have never made any money in the real estate market, you would be foolish to listen to those people. Like by definition.
Yeah. And I think what we're touching on here is that regardless of what area you want to excel at, find the people who have the results that you want to emulate yourself. If you're going to get in shape, do it from somebody who, A, not just has the physical results, but the overall lifestyle results that you want yourself. And sometimes that isn't necessarily a right or wrong, but other times it's like, which one works best for you? So I think that's really important to hit on while we're talking about the process of learning and becoming the best at what we do. And if I can just touch on something you said, I had no idea. You were studying 40 hours a week of acting related things.
Yeah, over 40 hours a week. Yeah, 40 hours was the minimum.
This episode will continue right after this. Backstage has been a leader in the entertainment industry since the 60s. Their casting department publishes more than 30,000 casting notices every year from projects ranging from major studio productions to indie films, both union and non-union. That's more than any other platform. I've been a member for a while now. I think you should be too. To try it for free for 30 days, go to backstage.com/action. That's backstage.com/action. Now back to the episode.
Damn, I thought I was good, but I do like... So my process is, ever since I learned about the world of self-help and personal development, is to listen to at least 1 hour of acting-related things a day. And I don't always hit that number. Some days it's zero. But even then, that's like 7 hours a week. So 40 hours a week, it explains why you're getting the results that you're getting.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a push. But it was worth it because I didn't want to feel... I was sick of feeling self-conscious about not having a degree. So it was something I had to do, really.
Yeah. What would you say to people who are listening to this right now who don't have a degree or feel like they're not qualified? Like, what would you say to them? Do you still feel like we need to put in? I mean, obviously, like studying our time for our craft is essential, but do you still feel like you need a degree necessarily to be as qualified as your peers?
I definitely do not think that you need a degree. I may be talking above my pay grade here because I don't have a degree, so I don't know exactly what it's like. But from what I've heard from a lot of different people is that theater programs really behind the times generally, and maybe that's changing now. I'm sure it is changing, but it's largely about stage preparation, which is great and everything. But you're teaching people who... not generally, but many of them want to be in TV and film, and they're not getting the skills that they need. They're not learning the skills that they need in order to succeed in that field.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I totally agree, even though I do have a theater degree and I had a wonderful experience at Salem State in Salem, Massachusetts. With that said, I mean, we're not just, I ask about degrees for the sake of this, the question, but really, like, I'm referring to the bigger picture at large. I don't think that we need necessarily the degree or the certificate to be as qualified as your peers. I see plenty of working actors in Chicago, yourself included, who don't have that degree. And it just goes to show it's about how you spend your time and how dedicated you are to mastering your craft that I think makes the difference, not this shiny certificate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. As long as you're willing to learn the skills that you need to possess,
yeah,
there's many ways to do that. And I did it when I put myself through my own program, and it had a number of really tangible benefits. Number one, it was a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
It was a lot cheaper than going back to school and getting a full theater degree. I was also able to tailor what I was learning based on what I needed at the moment, right?
So, oh, that's so important.
Yeah. So I could go from, let's say I was doing a bunch of scene study classes, but then I realized, okay, I'm lacking in, I'm not getting the callbacks that I want for commercials. Okay. So I need to then get into some commercial classes. I need to shift focus and start concentrating on this. And then maybe after a while of doing that and feeling like I'm doing pretty well at that, then maybe I realize, okay, on some of these commercial classes, they're asking me if I have teleprompter skills. All right, well, I don't know. I don't have that. All right, I better get that skill. So then I would take like a teleprompter class. I would start practicing that. And so, it was very good because I was able to tailor it based on what I needed.
I am so glad you mentioned that. In the world of personal development and self-care, it's very easy for a lot of online communities to do a book club. And I think that's great. I think it's great when you start to develop the consistent practice of growing and becoming better. I do think you touched on something really important, which is fine-tuning that according to what you need. And I think it would behoove us, especially as actors, to focus on what areas that we need versus being in a class because it's good. There are so many good classes. I'm a huge fan of Vagabond School. I talk about them on the show a lot. But there's so many different classes, whereas what are the classes that will best help you fill the gap that you currently have? So I think that's great that you touched on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that goes beyond acting. I know that you are into obviously personal development, self-help, yeah, success coaching, whatever you want to call it. Forgive me if I'm getting ahead of myself, but,
no, you're good.
Yeah. So when I was in, what was it? It might've been like late grade school or early high school. I found Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
It was one of the first books of its kind, in this self-help or personal development category. And I read that book. I mean, I still have my copy. It is tattered. I mean, big time. I had to give it like a new cover and everything because I read it so many times. And that was just an accidental, I can't remember where I found it, but I stumbled upon it. And I realized for the first time that you can, if there's something that you don't like about yourself or you have a shortcoming that bothers you, there is a way to change it. You can actually change that. And it sounds very elemental. I think a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah. They don't realize that they can actually change who they are if they don't like something about themselves. And I'm not saying that anybody needs to change or anyone needs to change for the benefit of anybody else. But if you don't like something or you don't possess a skill that you wish you did, there is material out there to help you change.
Yes.
And when I found that book, that was the beginning of, the beginning of a new life, for me. And since then I have solved so many problems. It sounds harsh, but really they were problems. They were issues that I was dealing with, and I solved them by finding the information that I needed through audiobooks and books. So for the people who are listening, if there is something that you feel like you are lacking in, or something that you've always wanted to know how to do, there is information to help you. And yes, you can actually change. You will transform into, like, you will solve the problem. The problem will cease to exist.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about how people who I have just met over the past 4-ish years, a lot of people know me as the happy guy, the positive guy, and my social media kind of portrays me that way. And I'm very open and upfront, especially on this podcast, that I have plenty of not perfect moments and areas that I'm working on. At the same time, people see me as this positive person because I've gotten so addicted to these books that you're talking about, and they've done so much for me. And I think that we forget that this is something that can be developed. If you're constantly getting stressed and frustrated, this is something you can work on. And it doesn't mean it goes away. It just means that you can get better at it and grow. And that I think people forget sometimes that we can learn these things. So I'm so glad you're touching on this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think of, in The Matrix, when Neo goes through one of the programs and it teaches him Kung Fu, and he wakes up and he goes, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah.
I think about those programs like that. Mm. It's much, much slower. It takes a lot of,
The other thing. Yeah.
But it's similar to that. It's like, if you want to know, let's take a hypothetical example. Let's say that someone who's listening to this is struggling with money. They're always, they're in debt. Okay, they're in debt. Let's just say that. That's a very common problem. They're in debt, okay? Now, I know what that's like to be in debt, and that is no fun. That is no fun at all. That is a constant stress and a constant drain daily. At least that's how it was for me. That's a problem. So you have now identified a problem that you have in your life that you would wish would be solved, okay? There are so many quality books on how to get out of debt, understanding investing, understanding best practices for managing your money, right? And yeah, after doing the work, you can learn how to do that, and then you possess the skill of understanding how to deal with money. And you wake up one day and you'll go, I'm not in debt.
Yeah.
You know?
And it can feel like, for people who don't read these books, like it's this fluffy woo-woo thing. But as you said, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a practice, but like this becomes part of who you are. You start to change the way you think. And I got to give a quick shout out because there's a great place in Chicago. I don't know if you've heard of it, Lee. It's called Next Door Chicago. Is that Clark and Diversey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I think I was there once recently. I think there was a meetup there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's a really cool place. And for anybody who hasn't heard of it, it's part of State Farm. And it's basically, you get free financial coaching. There is no catch. I've been going there over a year. I see Coach John. You can pick whoever you want to be your coach. And it's designed to be an ongoing thing. And they don't charge you. And so that's a resource for anybody in Chicago looking to get better control of their finances. But also to your point, there's books out there. I've been meaning to pick back up You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero. I started reading it and then I stopped, but I'm going to get the Audible version because I'm such a big fan of audiobooks as I know you are. And a quick plug for anybody who wants to start an Audible membership. If you're finally getting on board with listening to more programs after hearing this conversation, you can go to audibletrial.com/Tony Rossi Show. Your first book is free. And the thing that I love about this, Lee, I know you use Audible yourself. You get to keep the books, even if you cancel the membership. Like that still blows my mind. So I think that's super dope. I want to transition because you talked about debt, and I remember you sharing a story on your podcast where you actually paid off your student loans from, was it one project or a bunch of projects?
I think it was a few projects that I booked in quick succession that allowed me, to do that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you paid off your loans, and this had been a goal of yours for a long time. And I remember you saying on your podcast that shortly after it happened, you were already thinking of like what's next and something else that you wanted. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah.
That was something that was plaguing me for a very, very long time. And it was one of those things where I thought if I could just get out of debt, it would improve my life so much. And I was unhappy because I was in debt, or at least I thought it was because I was in debt. I ended up booking, I had a really good couple months, and I booked a number of, I think I booked a commercial, a national commercial. And I booked a, I think it was my first, I don't know, maybe it was my first network credit. I'm not quite sure, but, okay. I made a bunch of money and I paid off all my debt in like, the first month of the year. And my goal was to pay it off by like the end of the year. So I did it really quickly and I felt incredible. I felt incredible for about 10 minutes. And then I no longer felt incredible. I was just back to equilibrium.
Mm.
And it made me realize that these are not my words, but that happiness is never going to be on the other side of an achievement.
Yeah.
And if you really think about that, I know that that's hard to wrap your head around, because everybody, it's very hard to think for the people who are listening, well, I really want this one thing, or I wish that this one thing wasn't part of my life. And if that came true, I would be so much happier. And yes, that is true. You would be happier, but you very, very quickly go back to equilibrium. And it just made me realize that how important it was to put the emphasis on being happy and being content and enjoying where you are, as opposed to thinking I will be happy when.
Yeah.
It was such a valuable lesson to learn that.
That's great. I'm so glad you're sharing this. So for actors who are following you, they're listening to Action Podcast. They see your career. We've seen you on Chicago Med. Like, you have a career that we want to emulate. What would you say to those actors who are just waiting to be at your level, so to speak?
One of the many lessons that I learned from my podcast was from Michael Kostroff, who you mentioned earlier, who's a working actor. He lives mostly in New York, sometimes in LA. He's been on tons of shows, series regulars, recurring roles. He gets on, I mean, his list of credits is a mile long. I mean, he's been on tons of stuff, The Wire, The Deuce. He's on like everything. Really, really smart guy. Very practical guy when it comes to acting. And he's got a workshop called Audition Psych 101, which now he turned it into a book called Audition Psych 101, which is not on Audible. I told him that he should get it on Audible.
Oh, he needs that on Audible. We'll link it in the show notes for people to check out.
It's a great book. It is a great book. It's all about the psychological side of auditioning. He's taught me a lot. He's been on four or five episodes. He's taught me a lot. But one of the things that really stuck with me was he said to be happy where you are, no matter where you are in your career. If you are just starting out, if you're just doing a few student films, if you're doing community theater right now and you want to make it to Broadway, or or you've never booked anything, or you don't have an agent or whatever, that it's how important it is to be content with where you are. Not to say that you're not striving for more and that you're continuing to progress in your career, but that to always be happy where you are, because if not, you'll be, in his words, kicking that can down the road for the rest of your life.
For sure.
And it's so true, because this is a guy who was way ahead of me in his career. He's done way more stuff, Broadway credits, series regulars, like I said. And yet he says, you know, I'm not going to the press conferences when it comes to these roles that I've been on. I'm not winning Emmys and stuff like that. So, and he says it kind of jokingly, but he could look at it that way, is what he's saying. Yeah. You know, he's got a super enviable career. And yet he could still go, yeah, but I'm not the leading man in major motion pictures, you know? So, it's just a very important, thing it may be the most important thing in my opinion. Be grateful for where you are, be grateful for what you have, And there are ways to get good at that. I mean, that's a practice. You can't just think it and then it becomes a skill that you have. You have to work on it. And one thing that really helps you do that is meditation. It's something that I struggle with, to be honest with you. I have to force myself to do it. I have to force myself to meditate. I try to do 10 minutes a day. I don't do 10 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. I maybe do it 4 times a week. I use an app called Calm. There's a number of apps or resources. You don't need anything. You don't need an app. But it really trains you to be present-minded. And that's really what we're talking about, being noticing where you are in real time and appreciating that.
We've done a number of episodes on meditation, so I'm really glad you touched on that. When Dewan Johnson was on, we talked about it. We've had Kelsey Mathis on. I don't know if you know Kelsey, but she does meditation here in Chicago.
I know that name, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's talked with us about the benefits of meditation, plus what happens when we don't meditate. So if anybody hasn't heard that one yet, that like got my butt in gear and has made me more consistent with it since. But no, I'm like you. I don't always want to. I have to force it. I use Headspace, but so yeah, another app. Mm-hmm. And I notice what happens with me when I don't meditate. And if it hits a certain point in the day and I haven't, like I feel a difference. I don't always recognize that it's because of that until later, but I feel a difference. So I'm really glad you touched on that. And I'm so glad you talked about the importance of believing that we're enough where we are, because that's the whole concept behind the Tony Rossi Show podcast, is believing that we're enough regardless of where we are in our lives and in our careers. So mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for touching on that, man.
I do want to say when it comes to meditation, it's one of those things, and I didn't believe in it when I kept hearing about it, and I thought that it was something that had to do with like spiritualism or religion or something like that. It's a really hard thing to explain what it does, the way it actually affects you. There's tons of scientific proof. I mean, black and white scientific proof on the benefits of meditation. But what I will say to the people who've never done it before, the same way that if you start going to the gym and you start to lose weight or you start to put on muscle or you start to get stronger, you just know there's no perception involved. You can step on the scale and go, okay, I have lost 10 pounds, or I can take a picture of myself and I can see a huge difference, right? That is the level of certainty that you will have after you have practiced meditation for some time. It doesn't take that long. You will see such a tangible difference in you, just your mood and the way that you feel in life. You will know it. And I don't want to try to explain to you what the difference is, but once you realize that it's happening, it's that tangible.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of my favorite themes of meditation is recognizing how you feel, whether it's good or bad, and not putting a label on it. Mm-hmm. And recognize, oh, okay, or maybe if it is, okay, I feel bad, but not getting upset that you feel bad, or not getting happy that you feel so good, just recognizing it and getting in the habit of it. And that can sound like such a weird concept. It's like, why wouldn't I be happy about the fact that I'm happy? But it's about catching it and recognizing it so that you can check in with yourself and really acknowledge where it is that you want to feel or you want to go. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think this is great. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, as just an exercise for the people who are listening who've never meditated before, I've never suggested this before to anybody in person or on my podcast or anything, but I think it might be a useful exercise. If you're walking outside right now, or you are even in your house, in your apartment or whatever, look up at the sky, look at the trees, look at the buildings. And I bet you will realize that you have not looked up for a really, really long time. What I'm trying to explain to you is that you have probably been so lost in thought on a daily basis from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to sleep that you completely forgot that there is a whole world above you. And if when you did just look up, you realized that you have not looked up and really looked around and really realized where you are and what you're doing, then meditation is probably a good idea for you.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to use that.
I do it a lot. I do it a lot. Yeah, I do it a lot. If I feel like I'm lost in thought, I'll just look up. I'll just look up at the sky and the trees and just look around and just, you know, notice.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Cool. I'm going to let you know how that goes. That's something I gotta try for sure. So we're talking a lot about how to appreciate where we are and to focus on the positives and to find happiness where we are. I want to talk for a minute about something that I've heard you said on one of your episodes, which is when we go about this acting thing, we expect it to be easy and we expect things to come to us maybe quicker than we thought. And then I don't know if these were your exact words or my interpretation of them, but we get really upset when we find out it's not, and getting upset about the givens of the career. What are your thoughts on how to go about that when we discover that this acting thing is a little more harder than we thought and it might take longer than we thought?
I don't specifically remember talking about that on my podcast. So let me just make sure that I understand the question. You're talking about how to deal with the frustration that you're maybe not getting what you want as quickly as you'd like.
Yeah. If it's any help, I was just re-listening to the episode where you're being interviewed on your podcast by Nelson and talking about how a lot of actors just kind of are surprised that this isn't coming easier to us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to rant for a little bit on this.
Go for it.
What I realize is I talk to a lot of actors. I talk to a lot of people who come to me for advice, and they want to take me out to coffee or they want to talk to me on the phone. And I'm generally very happy to do that. I'm here to help. If I can save anybody any time, I'm happy to do so, because there were a very few select people who took the time to do that for me when I first started. I'm happy to pay that back any way that I can. What I run into the same thing all the time, and that is that people are looking for shortcuts. They want shortcuts. They want like the golden magical key in order to book more work. Okay. And I never looked at it that way. I just think that people, they don't want to put in the work. They don't want to put in the work. And this is not an easy business. It may seem like it's easy. And I think that what happens is that people think they see people go from obscurity to superstardom. And maybe that's a new lead actor on a really popular show. Okay. Or maybe it is somebody who's on some new Star Wars movie or something. And you go, I've never seen that person before. And the assumption is that that person was sitting in a waiting room in LA or New York or whatever, waiting to go in an audition. And they went in and there was a bunch of other people who maybe had just moved to LA as well. And that person got picked, almost like it's a lottery system, right? Like, what they don't realize is that person was probably busting their ass for 15 or 20 years doing community theater, then slowly working their way up, right? And they probably did a bunch of bit parts. And over many, many years of hard work and dedication, they slowly built up a resume where they were able to get in that room and audition for that thing. And you know what? It was not one audition. It was probably like seven. They probably had an initial audition, then they had another audition, then they had a callback, then they had a callback with the directors, then they had seven callbacks with the network, right? Or the studio, until they were finally booked. And so when you have these people who take one acting class or not even one acting class, and then they go and they move to LA and they think that they have the same opportunities as these other people who are making it. And then they get really frustrated when they see other people succeeding and they're not. But they never put in the work. They never did the work. I see that all the time.
Yeah.
And so I tell them that this is not an easy, it's not an easy profession. It's very, very challenging. And it takes time to learn these things. But if you're serious about it, you can learn them. You actually can learn them. There are resources, and if you put in the time, you can learn to do them. And everyone who's listening to your show, these are people, and everyone who listens to my show, those are people who are seeking advice. And kudos for that, because many, many people don't do that. They are either too proud or something gets in the way of them seeking advice. And if you just downloaded this podcast and you're listening to this podcast, then at least you are seeking advice. And that automatically puts you way above the competition.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah.
Well done for that. Did I answer your question at all?
You absolutely did. It's what I'm hearing you say is to those people who are saying, oh gosh, even if those weren't their exact words, and by the way, I'm saying they, but I've totally been guilty of this myself. So I'm not sitting up here all high and mighty. When we say, it's not that they're saying this is going to be easy, but oh, like, why is this taking so long? What's wrong with me? That's a question I ask myself all the time, is to A, let go of the timeline, and B, be willing to put in the work, because it's not easy for anyone.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. I will say a couple other things on that same point. And I think I might have said this in the podcast that you're referring to. I tell people, there's a lot of people complain in this industry.
Yep.
They complain a lot. And it's almost like people like to get together with other actors and just be miserable together.
Yeah.
Complain about the industry, complain about their agent, complain about the casting directors, complain about the market, complain about the fact that there's not enough shows, complain about the fact that they're too short, they're too tall, they're too whatever. Doesn't matter, right? Anything. This is an industry that there's just a lot of that going on. And I'm telling you, it's not doing you any favors. It's not doing you any favors to develop the reputation of being someone who complains, whether you're complaining on set or you're complaining to your agent, or you have just an air about you, an air of negativity when you go into auditions.
Mm-hmm.
There's all that, because if you do that, you're sunk before you walk in the door.
Yeah.
But it's also not doing you any favors personally. It's not making you better. It's not making you happier. And I'll tell you what will make you happier, and that's progress. And the way to progress is identify the problems, identify what's holding you back, and then fix them. There's many things that are out of our control in this industry, you know, more so than almost any other industry, I would say. We can't really control whether or not we book a job or how many auditions we get or things like that. But there are many, many things that are in our control.
Yes.
And it's very easy and very common for people who are pursuing this career to just write everything off as being out of our control.
Yeah.
That's really not the case. There are some things that are out of our control, but so much of it is in our control. And it's likely that if you are not having the successes that you want, there are certain things that are holding you back that you can control. And it's up to you to figure those things out. It's possible that your headshot is not good enough. It's possible that your resume is not laid out the way that a professional resume should be laid out. It's possible that you are making some mistakes when it comes to your auditions. And it could be something that is just so easy to fix and you just don't know. But that's your responsibility to figure those things out. So that means seeking advice, asking, if you have an agent, asking your agent for advice. If you're not getting callbacks, ask your agent if they could get any feedback from the casting director. Don't complain about it, but just very politely say, you know, I'd love to, if you ever hear any advice, or excuse me, if you ever hear any feedback from the casting directors, I'd love to hear it. You know, there's just a lot of things that are in your control, a lot of things. And some things that may be holding you back may be very, very easy to fix.
Yeah. This is such an important conversation to have, because not only is complaining not going to get us anywhere and make us feel more stressed out and miserable. And also, by the way, you never know who is listening. I always cringe when we're in the theater and somebody starts complaining. I'm like, you don't know who's sitting behind you. Like, we don't know who they are. I know you think it's somebody's mom, but it could be an agent. So just don't say anything. So A, don't complain. But B, when we stop complaining and start looking, as you said, for what's in our control, we take back our power. And I think so many times we forget that there are things in our control and we can get our power back. I was talking to two actors one time in a show, and I felt kind of bad because I didn't say this the right way, but they were both complaining about a casting director not calling them in. And after further questions about, both of you have agents, did you talk to your agents? It was for both of them, it was more of an issue with their agent than the casting director. And I'm like, you're giving your power away. And again, I did not like convey that the way I just conveyed to you. Mm-hmm. But when we start to focus on what's in our control, like it feels so much better. And it's such, I think the easy route is to complain. And again, I've been guilty of it. But when we go the other route, that's a little more tricky, that involves a little bit of work, then we start to move towards the results and then we feel better.
One of my mentors once told me when I was pretty young, and this is so counterintuitive, and it's so, it's just totally counterintuitive, and it's going to sound weird, but he said, take responsibility for everything that happens to you in life.
Yeah.
Regardless if it is like super plainly somebody else's quote fault, take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
So if you get rear-ended at a stoplight and your car's not moving, take responsibility for it. There is ways to take responsibility for everything. And you think that it's going to make you feel worse. It makes you feel so much better because you develop the habit, I guess you could say, of knowing that you are in control of everything that happens to you. And so, if you do get rear-ended at a stoplight, you could say, it's totally not my fault. There was nothing I could have done differently. My car wasn't moving. They were on their phone. It's their fault. Or you could say, that sucks that happened. What could I have done differently? I could have been looking in my rearview mirror instead of changing the radio station. I could have seen him coming. I could have been more aware. I could have realized that the road was slippery and that I need to be extra vigilant when I'm driving today. I could have done these things. And it will do wonders for everything. It puts you back in control of everything that happens to you. And when it comes to this industry, a mantra that I always had, and I had it from the very beginning, is what can I do? What can I do? So if there's a problem, if there's any problem, don't ask what other people can do. Don't ask your agent, what can they do? Ask yourself, what can I do? What is it that I can do? And take back that control. Yes.
This episode has been brought to you by Backstage. Get access to more performing arts jobs than any other platform by going to backstage.com/action to get 30 days for free. I'm Lee Foster. Thanks for listening.